Thank you so much for joining our podcast. We are excited today. I put something out on LinkedIn, and by the way, I'm excited today because Camila has been nominated to come talk to us about her expertise. So I am so happy to be joined by Camila Fahia, and she's a global customer experience leader, a strategist. She spent over two decades helping organizations actually deliver a better customer experience as a growth driver. She's led large scale teams of transformations across not just US, but Latin America, Europe, including, which was exciting to me, is building these multinational support teams. She's actually helped improve CSAT from a 2.9 to a 4.8, which is exciting. Can't wait to dig into some of this. And it's not only just from the leadership perspective. A lot of our followers said, Jim, you need to speak to this person because she would just be an awesome guest on the podcast. So I am really excited today, Camila. So thank you so much for joining us today. And unless you have anything, we're going to dig right into some questions that our listeners can hear you talk about. Is that good?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. What an honor to be here and honored to be nominated by the CX community. It's always a pleasure to share what I have experienced myself and kind of inspire others through those experiences.
Well, that's what we're about. We're about inspiring others, because if you think about it, I'm old, I have grandkids. If I had this opportunity to have this technology as I was growing up in the world, I would have been such a better leader. So thank you for sharing your wisdom with future leaders of tomorrow. So question number one, you've seen these companies invest heavily in this customer experience, because people talk about it all the time, but yet they struggle with retention and growth. What do you think? What's your opinion and your ideas on, you know, what's the fundamental misunderstanding about customer experience and that's actually costing them money?
Yeah, what a good way to kick off this conversation, because I do think there is a huge misunderstanding around CX, where people think that CX is still limited to customer support, to customer care. And this, to me, is the biggest misunderstanding, because whenever you do this, you are limiting the conversation to cost only. And that's where most CX leaders struggle the most, because they are the frontliners, if you will. They know, they experience what customers either like or do not like. However, when they are limited to cost only, they are constantly under the pressure to reduce costs. However, when we think about customer experience as being the business engine for growth, we are not talking about cost only. It's actually how do you use the entire journey of those clients from whenever you were pitching them, you were selling either your product or your service up to the end when they actually need support. It's the entire journey that must be fully interconnected and work as an oiled machine for you to actually be able to leverage the experience. So the very first misunderstanding is limiting CX to CS only. And I have been observing this not only here in the US, but in multiple countries where before people were, they would nominate themselves as customer support, either leaders or analysts, agents, whatever it is. But I'm seeing a trend of them just relabeling them to customer experience, but keep doing what customer support is. And this is it creates such a big gap, because once again, whenever we limit CX to support only, we are leaving the majority of the opportunity behind.
That's awesome. So what I heard you say is focus on the people, number one, not focusing on the cost perspective of it. Number two, changing someone's name is not necessarily customer experience. That is great. I love that, because, by the way, we've been in the industry together a long time, and we all know companies who've done that. Let me change the name, focus on the profitability. You focus on the people, the profitability will come. Great job.
Absolutely. Yes.
The next question is, so many organizations are increasing AI spending. You know, we're definitely increasing AI spending, so I get it, right? So they're increasing the spending for customer experience based on your experience when you talk about scale, right? You know, what produces a genuine return versus just an expensive new toy in the shop.
Yeah. Oh, I like that you mentioned a toy because I believe you are in the hype of AI. So I feel like people are just implementing AI for the sake of having it and checking a box and not necessarily solving a problem. And it's quite interesting because I recently delivered a MBA class about AI and how to get ready to implement AI. Actually, how to get ready for any sort of transformation, being AI, one of them. But kind of bringing this conversation to AI only, AI is just a tool that will amplify whatever you have in place. That's it. If you have a messy process, then you put an amplifier, what's going to happen? You're going to have a messier process, right? So what I think that people miss and they skip, which is the very important part, which is the preparation, the readiness for AI, that I some sort of organize these in three pillars. So the very first one is, what problem are you trying to solve? And many people, so if we look back to Albert Einstein, many years ago said this, if he had an hour, he would invest 59 minutes on coming up with the right question and just 1 minute to answer it. And I feel like we are operating in the opposite way. We don't invest too much time on understanding what we are trying to solve and jumping into the solution. And then any path will take you there. Right. So we got to know what we are trying to solve. And for you to know what you are trying to solve, you must have a very well mapped process. When I talk about process, I'm talking about the customer journey. So you have your customer signing up for your product or service up to the support at the end ish before churning. What are the interactions that we have? Where can we add more value? Are we actually there to solve for the client or solving for ourselves? Because there's a significant difference, right? So I do see, and I have spent the last 15 years in the tech industry, companies coming up with new features, with new solutions that was very much focused on what the IT team or the product team wanted, not necessarily what the clients wanted. And that's when you start kind of losing momentum and losing share. So the very first pillar is, what are we trying to solve? What is the process that I have in place? And how can I add more value, of course, to the clients and to the organization at the same time? Then the second pillar is data. How do I back it up with data? Because again, if I'm going to make an investment, I need to make sure that I'm going to have a return on it. If I don't have the data, how can I know this? I may invest a significant amount of money, whereas the return is going to be pretty low. Does it make sense? Should I invest in something else? So the second one is definitely back it up with data. And the third one, very much overlooked. Jim, this one, I can tell you for sure, 99% overlooked. Culture.
Oh.
And change management. Because you can definitely have your problem mapped, your process mapped, your problem statement done, you have the data to back it up, but you do not have an innovative culture. What is going to happen? Whenever the transformation comes in, people will boycott. For sure. If you do not bring your organization to the table, to the discussion, and explain up front why you were doing this and what is going to be the impact, that's the conversation we have been observing about AI, that people think they're going to lose their jobs. Not necessarily. But if you do not let them know, what are we going to do? You're going to create such an insane level of anxiety that your organization, your employees will disconnect even before you start implementing the transformation. And they're going to start looking for something else. So to me, those three pillars are the necessary pillars for you to be ready for any kind of transformation, being AI one of them. But if you do not have this foundation in place, once again, you will just amplify what you have. A chaos, a kind of a broken organization, a siloed organization, because AI is just a platform. It's just a technical solution.
It is. It's so cool you say this because I actually did a podcast yesterday with a friend of mine, Justin, and we were talking similarly. And to say is like, what I say, and I think we're aligned here, you know, first and foremost, stop treating AI like a tool and treat it as a strategy, right? Because you're right. If you create, if your processes are broken, you're amplifying the processes. And when you don't validate the data, because I'm a big data person, if the data is producing crap data, it's because you had crap data to start with, right? So you have to actually validate the data. And I love what you're talking about, the culture and change management. When we deploy AI, 80% of the work is change management.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And you're right. And people think it's just this new shiny tool, throw it on top, it's going to solve all my problems. It's one of the myths in the industry. Awesome, awesome response for that one. So number three, you did achieve 87% employee satisfaction, by the way. I'm big on agent experience, but as well, alongside that 4.8 customer satisfaction score. What's the connection between those two metrics? Like a lot of companies will look at metrics and not having a correlation between them. You know, what would you give advice to our listeners about looking at the differences in those metrics?
Yeah, absolutely. They are very much interconnected. I'm going to explain you why. So this is the performance of my last employer, where I was hired to actually transform the support team and take support into experience. And for us at this, the very first thing that we did was set the mission and the vision that we were trying to achieve. And once again, speaking of understanding your existing process and defining your problem statement, this is the very first step. The first thing that I did was understanding from that particular organization that I was just joining, what was the objective, the medium and long-term objective? If they were in the expansion mode. So you're going to focus on the top line. It's important because it can be efficiency. It can be international expansion. It can be so many things. If you do not know where you are going to, how can you bring people along? So understanding the company goal is the very first step I would recommend leaders to do. Once you have that understanding, look into your organization. In my case, it was customer support. How can customer support actually help the entire organization to deliver that goal faster, to get to that destination faster? And I need to bring them along with me. Because again, I was one and they were 300. I brought them along with me and say, hey, if we want to get there, if we want to expand our revenue, our top line, what would you suggest? And you start collecting feedback. You create this sense of belonging where the ultimate goal, Jim, is that they set the target, not you.
Love that.
And this to me is key because most leaders, and this is one of leadership responsibilities, is set the goal, set the target. However, if you bring your organization with you where they understand where you are trying to be, where you are trying to take them to, and they come up with the targets, there is a lot more accountability and ownership. It's completely different when I go to you and say, Jim, you need to do this. This is the metric. This is the goal. Go. When you come to me and say, Kami, I understood that we need to cross this street. We need to cross this bridge. What if we do this, this, and that? What if we set these targets? Are those metrics the best one for us to see if we are actually going in the right direction? So you create the sense of belonging, and in exchange, you get a lot more commitment and accountability that is very much needed for you to deliver anything in corporate. But the very first step is definitely this one. Once you have this established, start with your employee experience. Once again, very much overlooked. Very much. And when I say employee experience, I'm not only talking about the employees that are already part of your organization. You have to partner with HR. What is the profile that you are hiring? Does the profile matches what you are trying to deliver? Because sometimes the transformation is so kind of a big that you may need to change the profile you are hiring. What are you trying to deliver? So if I have a support team that will upsell and cross-sell, it's different skill set that I need in the team, right? So understanding the employee experience and moreover, guiding them through the impact of the experience. And that's when I have come up with a concept that I like very much, which is you give to get.
Whoa.
If I give you the experience, if I want to deliver an experience to a client, so I want you to deliver this. So you need to give this to me, if you will. So what I'm going to give to you first, so you can sense you can have the experience that I actually want you to deliver to someone else. You give to get. So the very first thing is understanding how we can improve the experience for the employees. And that's why the 87%. It was not that high when we started this journey. But in the same way that we normally survey clients to kind of collect their feedback on how was the experience, how was the interaction, how is working with that particular organization, why not doing the same with employees? And I normally challenge leaders when I ask them how often they survey clients. And they're going to say, oh, after every interaction or every month or every 2 months. And then right after, I ask the second question, which is how often do you do the same with your employees? And then the 99% is once a year.
Yep.
So look at the disparity. How do you want your employee to deliver something that this person doesn't have or is not experiencing? So the very first thing was to understand what would it take for these to set this employee up for success, tools, training, processes, whatever it was. So we first focused on improving their experience so they would become a mirror to what we want the clients to experience. And you can see there is a very high correlation between employee experience and customer experience. But many leaders focus on the customer experience at the expense of the employee experience. And that's why they are not able to improve or sustain such a high level of customer satisfaction, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. God, that's gorgeous. I mean, it's so funny you say that. It's like people are telling people what to do. Is that what you're saying? Like without getting their feedback? And the objective one is huge. It's so funny because as I travel and I'm out in the industry, people will come to me and say, I need AI. I say, why? My boss is telling me. And I love that we say, first, let's find the objective and what you said earlier, the problem you're trying to solve. And really what hit me is this employee experience. That's one of my goals in 2026 is to focus more on the employee experience. And what we rolled out at eTech was stay surveys. Because you're right, HR does survey our employees once a year, maybe every quarter.
Or right? Once they leave, so right? The exit interview. Yeah.
At the exit interview, yeah, you're right. So we actually said, why don't we survey people and say, why are you still here? Right? And find out that and replicate it. I loved what you said there. So as we wrap up our last question, because it's the end of the year, it's Christmas time, people are finalizing budgets, right? So what would be your advice to prioritize these people who are actually sitting in these planning meetings? And let's just say, let's give them one or two tips, whatever you want to come off the top of your head, to avoid common early mistakes as you're planning for 2026.
I would say less is more, because when we are planning, what do we normally do? You have the CEO kind of setting the goal or the direction, and then we start breaking these down to the different departments. Then every single department go heads down on their own silo. That's the biggest mistake. That's the biggest mistake, because then you're going to have a bunch of initiatives that will compete against each other for the same money. And poor CFO that at the end of the day has to make a call. And I can tell you, because in the beginning of my career, I used to be finance. For 10 years of my professional life, I was the finance girl. And I used to be this person that has to approve the budget. And it's so hard for you to compare the return on investment of every single initiative. So first mistake is to break it down into silos rather than having everyone collaborating and helping each other to actually deliver more value to the customers. Then the second one is not having a return on investment mindset. Because as I was saying before, you do have CX leaders that were born and raised in customer support, and they struggle very much to translate what they observe in terms of experience gap into financial metrics. And what happens when they go knock their CFO door, they do not speak their language. Therefore, they get frustrated because their programs or their initiatives do not get funded. So one is avoid silos. Second is have an ROI mindset with a clear approach for across the organization. So whenever you're going to have the conversation with the CFO or with the CEO, everybody's going to speak the same language. This is what, coming back to my give to get, this is what yeah. I'm giving. So we're going to improve revenue. We're going to drive efficiency. We're going to improve margin. What are you going to give and what do you need in exchange? It's a lot easier to have conversations like this with this CFO. And I promise you, first of all, the planning process is going to be a lot more streamlined, faster, and you're going to have clarity on what the organization, not every single department, will focus on. The every single department comes later, which is the contribution in order to deliver the ultimate goal, not the other way around.
Oh, I love it. It's so funny because we've been in the industry together, and I love the no silos. And it's so true. IT doesn't talk to the product delivery team. Product delivery team blames the IT guys. I mean, it's true because they all work in silos. I love that. And I loved your analogy on, like, you're right, because when you talk to the CFO, I've been guilty of this. I'm going saying, hey, I want to bring donuts in for the entire company today because I want to help retention. But they're paid to do a job. I don't see the value. But wait a minute. But it cost me $2,500 to replace that guy. So the $500 I'm spending on donuts, but I get it. It was a lesson I learned a long time ago. I love what you said there. Like, the one thing I took out of today's conversation before we wrap it up is, you know, the one thing I learned here today, and it's been just tremendous to meet you. I'm so happy somebody nominated you. I'm so glad we got to connect.
Thank you.
Technology should make the agent's job easier and not replace them. And by the way, you will replace people long term. I get that. But it's not just what looks good. It's really about that people part of it. I mean, you did a great job on all these questions. I'm so happy. I've learned so much today. So in closing, what I would say is, first of all, thank you so much for being a partner and willing to do this with me. Number two, I learned a lot about you today, which I didn't know before. How can people get in touch with you? I mean, I started following you, as you know now. I'm so excited to see what you're doing. How can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more or just actually follow you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And first of all, thank you very much for having me. As I said in the beginning, I love sharing what I have gone through in a way that we can inspire others. And if they want to know more, they can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Camila Ferreira. And I also have my YouTube channel, which is Camila Ferreira underscore global. So they can definitely watch more of what I talk about, my passion about CX, and all of the challenges I have faced so far and how I solve them.
This is awesome. We're going to post this on our YouTube channel, and we're hopefully you're going to share it on your YouTube channel. We both can do this again in the next quarter. Camila, thank you so much for joining us. It's been honestly my humble opinion. It was one of the great ones I've done in at the end of this year. Thank you for making it special, and I look forward to doing more of these in the future.
Likewise. Thanks so much.
Everybody.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, everybody.